Hour number two here on Next Man Up. Nick Frazier, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly here. Mm-hmm. TD, we got into a big conversation about Cam Ward's development in the first hour. Transition to the defensive side of the ball a little bit. We talked during the break. We didn't get to talk too much on the depth of this cornerback room. And we talked, you know, about Denard Wilson's future along with all that. Your initial thoughts now that Roger McCreary is gone off this roster. Where does the secondary go from here?
There is no depth, honestly.
Yeah.
It's strong safety-wise, but corner-wise, there are guys that have to prove it. Darrell Baker Jr., he's dealing with the concussion. He's under the protocol, so you know he was limited yesterday. We'll see how it continues to work out. But, I mean, when you look at this, it's not good. You know, Jalen Armour Davis is a guy that's still trying to find his groove. And, I mean, he's had his ups and downs, you know. Now that looking at the depth chart, it's been updated. Marcus Harris is the initial nickel, which is that's good to see because I think that's where he fits. But, I mean, you look at this group. You know, Jalen Armour Davis, Micah Robinson. Now, Micah Robinson, guys, he has some wheels. Like, one thing he can do is run.
He's the guy they signed for the Packers this past week, right?
Yeah, he can run. Darrell Baker Jr., as we talked about him. So, they're strong safety-wise, but it's just the cornerback situation. And this week, brother, Ladd McConkey.
Quentin Johnson.
Say what you want about Quentin Johnson, but he's developing into a threat. Right, and then you look at Keenan Allen. I mean, that's the route wizard right there. There aren't too many guys that can run routes better than him.
Then they got that rookie tight end as well. That's become a problem.
Man, make me feel old. I remember watching his dad go from the Arena League to the Miami Dolphins.
Really?
Yes, Aronde Gadsden Sr.
Wow,
he was a monster playing. He was one of the first big power slots, a la Marcus Colston.
Right.
With the, you know, shout out Harrisburg, PA.
Yeah.
A la, you know, Marcus Colston with the Saints. Now his son, I watched him at the senior Shrine Week.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, this dude could play. The main concern was him going from receiver to tight end because that embracing that physicality. It's a different
those chip blocks and
tight
stuff
ends
like that.
Are God bless tight ends because you got to deal with the swift corners, the safeties. You got to block ends as you alluded to, mm-hmm. and you got to linebackers too. So yeah, to your point, Gadsden, the last 2 weeks have been really good for him, and he's a guy that's finding his way. And what's so crazy to me is when you look at Jim Harbaugh, you look at Greg Roman.
Mm-hmm.
Their core is running the football. But when your top two backs, Najee Harris, with the stuff he had happen 4th of July, and then you look at Amarian Hampton, who, let me tell you something, he was a monster at North Carolina. So now those guys are out. You're Hassan Haskins and
Vidal,
you know, that's your back. They're throwing the ball much more, and a part of that is the development of Ronnie Gaston. And, look, Justin Herbert is coming along.
Yeah.
I still got to see him winning the playoffs, you know, before I could you know, put him where he should be. But he's coming along. So this secondary is going to be tested. You mentioned Aronde Gadsden. I think Kevin Winston, like if I'm watching this game, I want to see 23. I want to see where he lines up. And I want to see if this is kind of the birth of what he could be. Because to me, he's a guy that could be used a lot like Dane Cruikshank was. You
right.
know, that's your tight end stopper. You know, and so I want to see that. And then you also look at Winston. He's been working with Ben Bloom, Lori Locust. In fact, last week, a week ago today, he wasn't with the DBs. He wasn't with Steve Jackson and the safeties. He was with Bloom and the outside backers.
Mm.
And so he's working the little pass rush techniques and all that stuff because if you go back and look at the sack McCreary had, he had the pressure on the other side.
Right.
You know what I mean? To kind of like make the quarterback not be able to see McCreary coming and McCreary got the sack, you know. So I think it's going to be a week to see their development.
Yeah. Matt and Teddy, hold on line. I got one question for you real quick before we get to them, T-Day. You mentioned about, you know, the rushing the quarterback with Roger McCreary and those type of those I guess you call them blitzes with Denard Wilson's defense. Mm. Do you think that changes a little bit with the lack of depth?
No. I think you want to increase it because he's going to be on the field and that's a strength that he has.
Right.
So I don't think the lack of depth is going to make it change at all. No.
Okay. I'm just curious. But all right, going to the phones here. Teddy up on the line. Go ahead, Teddy. You've been waiting patiently.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you guys doing?
What's up, Teddy?
Hey, what's going on, TD? This Teddy from Nashville, not Teddy from Heaven or Teddy Pendergrass.
Hey, you read my mind, brother. Because I'm definitely thinking like, just got to let it go. But now, what's up with you?
Okay. Man, not much, man. Guys, I've been watching this season, and one thing that I'm truly excited about is our young core.
Yeah.
If we pay attention to how that young core is developing slowly, not at a steady, at a quick pace, but at a slow pace, but that development is happening. They're staying healthy. We're not hearing, no injury or this person being, they're staying and they're growing. So that's one thing that I've really been excited about this season. And also to the steady growth of Cam Ward. We see a lot of people on Twitter and whatever saying, this about that about the guy. But if you truly pay attention, he is getting better every game. Slowly, but he's getting better every game. And one thing to that, I feel like I actually like, let him get all this stuff out with the turnovers, with the, losing the ball. Like, get it out your rookie year. I don't want to see this your second or your third year. I want you to get it out right now so that it's like, okay, fine, you are learning from me. You know that this cannot repeat itself. So with what's going on, guys, like I said, I see the positivity in this season, but I believe when the new stadium is time for the new stadium to open up, we will have a competitive team to go in there, but at the end of the day, it all comes down to front office. That will always be our biggest question, the front office. So if they can do right by this young core, man, help them, watch them, and trust me, they will learn out of this. You can't get worse than this. After what you've gone through, it only gets better from here. So yeah, man, that's what I wanted to talk about. Oh yeah, and one more thing. I hope, man, by December 7th, we get to see Cam and Shadur. Hopefully, the Browns will move on from Dylan Gabriel, and we get to see Cam and Shadur. That would be an exciting game. But, man, you guys have a good one, and good talking to y'all.
Yeah, hey, Teddy, before you go, your accent. I know you, Teddy, from Nashville, but where's your accent?
I'm originally from Ghana, West Africa.
Okay. All right. Got you. Nice. Got you. Salute, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah, for sure, man. You guys have a great one.
You too. Thanks, Teddy. That's a great call.
So, yeah, Teddy always has really good calls, man. That's why I like when he calls. But he's right. What you're seeing now is the core, and there is gradual progression. But to me, it's like John Harbaugh used to always have a thing. I remember covering the Ravens. He'll tell them, look, you just stack days, right? And Kobe used to have a thing, right? You get better 1% each day. If you get better 1% each day in 100 days, guess what?
100%.
So the progress can be gradual. It's not always – extreme, and I think that's what you're seeing here. But fans, because it's the number one pick, and they've seen how early pick Jaden Daniels is horrible for Cam Ward. CJ Stroud is horrible for Cam Ward. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Because they're seeing that instant success from those guys, and it's like, oh, well, if they could do it, he could do it. And it's not always the case because every situation is different. Good call, Teddy.
Very good call. Matt, we'll get to you on the other side of the break here, right here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game.
Hey,
yes.
This right here, I appreciate Parker playing this, man. This is a classic song. I'm going to tell you, young TD, back in high school, they used to sell cassette singles.
Oh, yeah.
I used to have this single in my pocket, along with Wu-Tang, the first Wu-Tang album, Mobb Deep, Nas, and the first Biggie.
Wow.
Right? I used to carry tapes with me. That song right there. I used to listen to that before games. Believe it or not.
Really?
That song, Aaliyah, One in a Million, Tony, Just Me and You. But that Brian McKnight song right there, you see that window?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to run through it, but I'm considering it because it gets me hyped that much, man. I love slow music, man. That's what used to get me hyped before games.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder why that change of pace. Interesting.
I don't know. It just like.
It gets you.
I don't get it wrong. Like, I have my get hype music like on the, crash out side of things, too. But that Quiet Storm, this is that slow music, man. I used to love that.
I guess calms you before going out.
It's calming and you just feel good and you just feel in a zone where you're just like water, like Bruce Lee said.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, hey, we got loaded phones, TD. Let's go first to Matt. Matt on the phone line. Let's talk a little bit defense. Go ahead, Matt.
What's up, Matt? Matt going once, going twice.
Sold.
Call back, Matt.
Thank you. Next we have is Wes. Wes was talking about the Titans and especially the coaching for you, TD. What you got for us, Wes?
What's up?
Hey, Wes, what you got for us? Wes, hello?
Hello, hello?
Wes, what's up, man? Talk to me.
Is this Matt or Wes?
Is this Matt? Am I on?
Yes, Matt. Hey, Matt, how are you?
I think we might have had Matt and Wes mixed up on the phone line.
That's all right. In order. Go ahead, Matt.
Mix us up. It's all good. Hey, real quick, before I get to the defense, TD, you can't take them back that far with the singles, man. They don't know nothing about that. It's old school.
Hey, brother, you know what I'm saying? Hey, look, if I got to, I'll go back to the 8-track, you know what I mean, when Pops had the Grand Torino. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, that's old school. Don't do them like that. But
yeah.
Telling our age, actually. But real quick, I want to say, man, people got to chill with the criticism of the team. I've been going to games 20 years, and this is undoubtedly the worst roster we have had since the Wizard Hunt era. This roster is horrible. So I don't care if you got Vince Lombardi. You're not going to win with a roster this bad. So what I'm saying is give the guy some chance. You wanted to let Rand cook, let Borghazi bake. Get some guys in there.
I like that.
Get some guys in there you can play and get some guys that, you know, can stay healthy, for instance. And, you know, we'll see what happens, because the bottom line is I watched the Lions the other week. Dan Campbell ain't no good coach, but their roster is insane. So, of course, they're going to keep winning. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
People got to chill, man. And one more thing. Who they got Trey? Let him call back, man. Who does he want? He get on here every week, talk bad about Cam. Who does he want? I don't understand. He just, you know. And one last thing for you, TD. No limit or cash money, and I'm out.
Ooh, no. Listen, that's a good one, Matt. I'm gonna go with no limit because I just remember, you know what I mean? Like I'm from up north, so we didn't really know about Master P and them initially,
right?
But one of my homies from the south in college put me onto that No Limit Soldier. So I went back, brought that to my homies, and I played that. And they all like,
okay.
So that vibe that it gets, yeah, I'm going to go No Limit. But cash money is both dope. But he's right, though, as far as the criticism. But the one thing is, even though there is a lack of talent on defense, some of the talented guys, right? Like you look at Austin Hooper's touchdown, right? Le'Jarius Sneed is talented. Quandre Diggs is talented. They're veterans.
Right.
There shouldn't be a miscommunication as far as like who got the call, who's going flat, and who's going over top. But you had that, and Hunter Henry got the touchdown. And next thing you know, we're watching You Got Mossed, and the Titans are on there.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things that you still have to avoid, regardless of talent. Because there's some things to me that supersede talent.
Interesting. All right, next on this, we got Wes. I think we got Wes back. Go ahead, Wes.
What's up, guys? TD, how you doing, man?
Hey, man, no bad days, baby. How are you?
Hey, man, that's what I'm saying. I'm moving today, and it's rainy, and we're still not having a bad day.
That's right.
Look, man, I don't know how to shorten this question, so just kind of follow me through this for a minute, because I'm having a hard time with some of the people that we're looking at to bring in for coaching interviews. Maybe you can help clear this up. So my first question to start off with, the big question, is what is the difference between the New York Jets and the Tennessee Titans?
They wanted Jarvis Brownlee, and the Titans didn't.
Okay. I definitely agree with that, because we could use a Jarvis Brownlee. But I keep hearing all the hype about Robert Saleh. And every time I hear this, they're like, oh, you know, it didn't work because he's with the Jets. The Jets are a crap organization. Robert Saleh would do so much better on his second term somewhere else that's not the Jets. Well, my question is, like, aren't the Titans just a crap organization too? So if Robert Saleh couldn't succeed in the Jets because the Jets are the Jets, well, the Titans are just the Titans. So why does everybody think Robert Saleh could come in here and fix the Titans if he couldn't fix the Jets? I mean, they look a lot better than us. Their talent, their roster looks better than us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand the hype around Robert Saleh.
Yeah, I'll say this. The big thing with Saleh, above all else, was the lack of quarterback play.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if Saleh could come in here, obviously he's going to have to bring something offensively, right? And so, okay, Mike McDaniel, if you could put that together, now you got something. You're pulling San Francisco into your building. So maybe that'll help. But you're right. I mean, this guy had – a degree of failure for an organization that is basically on par with the Titans. So you can't really just drop that whole explanation into this situation and say, oh, well, it's going to be different here. You know, Wes is right. That's a great call.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, these callers today are presenting things that I didn't think about before. And that's another example of it. Good call, Wes.
Yeah, I've even talked to Jake about that, of just, you know, Robert Saleh was one of my top candidates. We talked about it Monday, of just like top five guys. I think Saleh would be a great guy to hire for the Titans, primarily because they need the help on the defensive side of the ball. You bring him in for the drafts coming up with your top 12 picks that you need out of the top 100. That's somebody you can help build a core on, and you can build, they say the cliche is defense wins championships.
Yeah.
That's a guy that can do that. And I think if you have a quarterback like Cam Ward that's still developing, that might actually click.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, though, what I would try to do is bring in someone who has similar beliefs to what's on, unless you're going to be okay with flipping that roster again,
right?
Because you bring in, you know, Saleh, you bring in, you know, a guy whose philosophy is different. Now the types of players that you're going after is going to be different than the types that you have. Not that you have a whole bunch now. Either way, you know, you're going to have to get a bunch. But it's just like that little balance that you're playing is tough, man.
Yeah. We'll get to the next one. Here we go. Kenny the Mailman's got a big question for you, TD. Go ahead, Kenny.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Tron, I love listening to you. You come up with stuff that I've never thought about. And
thank
I enjoy
you.
It. You said something so profound just a few minutes ago, but I need a little bit of clarification.
Okay.
Who's Beavis and who is Butthead?
Man, he said something profound and brought up Beavis and Butthead. You know what? I don't know who's who. I would say Braganzi is Butthead because he has brown hair like Butthead.
Right.
Oh, wait, is
well,
it?
You know what? Yeah, we were joking about that, but I was flipping through. They have a ton of people in the front office, and it looks like 9 people trying to change a tire that's never done it before. Do you have all the titles that they do, and do you have it down who to go to for what? Because to me, I'm just confused.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all have a great day.
Thank you, Kenny.
Kenny. You have a great day as well, man. He's right. You know, you look at there's a lot of chefs in the kitchen, you know, and there's a few ways you could look at it, right? You could look at it as, you know, like they collectively have 100 years of experience. So if that's the case, right, experience is typically the best teacher. If that's the case, they're in good hands. But can all of that experience – I hate to use the word.
Go ahead.
Collaborate. Can all of them come together and have that synergy to where it's like, okay, I'm smart enough to know that I don't know O-line play the way you do, Reggie. So you know what? You tackle that.
Right.
If you feel that player X is better than player Y, I'm going to cede to you. But do understand, when we're talking receivers, and I tell you that Jeremy Bernard is better than Jordan Tyson, you better – I know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? So I think that's the thing. I feel Jeremy Bernard is better than Jordan Tyson. That's just me. But regardless, I think that's the thing that you have to be able to be on that same page and understand, yeah, there's a lot of experience, but we got to work together.
Mm-hmm.
And the egos have to be set aside. That's the big thing in that front office.
Yeah, it just trying to line everything up on, like you said, everything has to be in sync and using the word collaboration, whatever it may be. It just this front office – and you make a great point about too many cooks in the kitchen. I'm in the camp of, yes, there are too many cooks in the kitchen, but if there's a head chef, let the head chef be the guy orchestrating that. That's my biggest issue.
Yeah.
Is if you got a lot of sous chefs that are 5-star Michelin that are great, let the king chef, let the head man give the final say on all that. And if it is Borgonzi or Brinker, whoever it is, that's just the deciding factor. I believe you're the one that asked the question a while back. Who's the one making
the final decision? I don't know what you're talking. Look. Is it you or is it you? You know what I mean? That's really what it boils down to. So.
Yeah, and even there are people in the national market and outside the national market, national media, that want to know the same question. And yet there's not going to be an answer for that. It's just going to be perception is what it's going to be. So more of those phones on the other side with TD. Give us a call if you need. 615-737-1025. TD's got your answers. You got the questions. Bring them on right here on Next Man Up, 1025 The Game.
Yeah. Hey, Matt. That's for you, Matt. Right now, you know where I'm at?
Where's that?
Back there in 1996, Club McDonald's, Broad and Diamond, Philadelphia, PA. Sitting in the car, bobbing to that. That's the vibe right there. No Limit Soldier, man. That song is always a banger.
Now, that song I could go out to for a football game. Now, that's something that get me hype right there.
Yeah, no doubt.
Just be honest with you there. I mean, obviously we heard Mike McCoy coming back from break there, talking about the young players, where to find leadership. We kind of mentioned that earlier in the show. But that kind of leads into a little bit of the conversation we had right before this segment ended, was that the head coach, the next head coach that comes into play, we teased it in the first hour, got to it a little bit here and there. We talked about Robert Saleh just now. What are some other candidates in your eyes that you think would be a good fit, minus Arthur Smith, that would be like, yeah, we can just pick up where we left off. This team is a winnable, achievable, I guess, winning culture.
Yeah, so Mike McCarthy is a name that obviously you have to put into play just because of the Green Bay ties. And we know Chad Brinker, like he said it, right? Green Bay, I've seen it done correctly there, and he wants to incorporate those types of things. McCarthy was a big part of that. So he's a name that you got to put in there. Matt Nagy. Now, conversely, Mike Borgonzi, he's seen it a certain way, and we know Nagy has been involved with the Chiefs and their situation. Both of these guys have head coaching experience. Say what you want about McCarthy. Like, for me, my problem is, like, you had – a plethora of talent in Dallas, and y'all didn't, like, come on, man.
NFC Championship game, and that was it.
You know? So, make of that what you will. You look at Matt Nagy. Initially, the experience was good, but we know it got bad. A double doink, 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 Cody Parkey. Mm-hmm. That ruined the Bears, you know what I mean? And now, you know, he's back as the OC with the Chiefs. So, you got those guys. I think – you look at Mike Kafka, right?
Yep.
Former Eagles quarterback. He's a guy that has experience playing the position. I always like guys who have played quarterback, being someone that you have to help develop a quarterback, because there's a degree of relation. Yeah, like, I get it, man. I'm trying to think of all this stuff, and I know what you're going through. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Obviously, the Giants situation is not the best. But he has been around Brian Daboll, who we know has had a lot of success with Josh Allen, you know, in launching his career. So you have that. Now, the one thing with that, from what I understand, when he interviewed, like, he's kind of bland. You know what I mean? So will he be a leader, man? I don't know. Has he been? I'm not exactly sure, right? So that's something, those three. Patrick Graham, I still think, should get consideration. If you want that leader of men type of guy, mm-hmm. I know the Raiders' defense is not the best, but I think bringing a guy like that in would help. So you got him. Obviously, Cliff Kingsbury, but I don't think Cliff Kingsbury would even consider this situation. Yeah. I know if I'm him, I wouldn't. So you have that. So, you know, those are four guys right there. Do you have anybody that you would add to that?
I mean, somebody that comes to mind, obviously I mentioned Robert Saleh, but
yeah, Saleh. Yeah. Excuse me. I oversight on my
yeah
part.
You mentioned Arthur Smith earlier. Nobody really comes to mind outside of that. I mean, if you want to somehow get Bruce Arians out of retirement, but I don't think that'll happen. I mean, I don't know, nothing really comes to mind for any of these other
that
openings.
Would be pretty cool,
wouldn't
man.
It be kind of crazy?
I you mean, know Bruce Arians, he used to coach at Temple.
Did he really?
Yeah,
so there's a little connection there, Philly connection. I mean, you know,
I'm gonna find it.
Yeah, you know, going into this whole coaching realm of it all, you mentioned a lot about how there are a lot of, I guess, coaches that have a lot of quarterback ties. For me, what separates that from being a true head coach for the team or really being a really good quarterback coach? Because that's something that, you know, you bring a lot of emphasis to Cam Ward, but at the same time, is he going to be a leader for Cam Ward or the whole team? That's the separation people got to find that fine line with.
Well, here's the thing. When you have someone that could be a leader for your quarterback can in turn be the leader for the team. And you could – and it, the good coaches – because it's not always quarterbacks, right? Because you look at when Vrabel first got here, Mariota, he had his moments where he was fired up and, you know.
Right.
But he led in a different way. That way wasn't exactly in line with Mike Vrabel's way. But you know who was? Taylor Lewan. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I noticed when I first got here was how much – and he had first got here too, you know, a few months before I did, but I noticed how much he leaned on him. how much he leaned on Jarrell Casey, these guys to institute the culture and the understanding, the core values and all that stuff. So really what it comes down to as a coach, if you could find that guy that could do it, and here's the thing, nothing has changed with Cam Ward.
No.
Right? Nothing has changed after all this losing. He's still outspoken. He's still speaking his truth, regardless of whether they're winning or losing. You know who he got that advice from?
Who's that?
First and foremost is his dad, Calvin Ward.
Right.
Right? But more recently, that's what Peyton Manning's been telling him to do. Hey, look, regardless of the wins or losses, be you. Be a great teammate. Be a great leader. Look at the Iowa Manor situation. We know Iowa Manor did not come out of his route fast, his break rather. Cam's like, man, I got to put the ball on him.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing about that's a leader. That is a great teammate. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So you have those types of things that you could lean on. So for me, I would want a guy who, if he isn't a quarterback-centric guy, you better have somebody in place that could do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Bring somebody with you that could do it, because that's going to be the catalyst to you reaching the rest of the locker room. Because it's already established that this locker room, they're going to not follow Cam, but he's going to have an influence.
Yeah.
Even at this young age.
Trailing his footsteps in a roundabout way.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I kind of go back to the whole Jeffrey Simmons-Cam Ward combination they had in preseason, the whole rah-rah back and forth. They would, you know, jaw at each other in practice. Like, you mentioned having a head coach that's driven, that's a leader of men. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey Simmons obviously has been, in a roundabout way, a leader of men through his actions on the field and just being that vocal leader of just trying to get the best out of his other teammates around him. That's why I think that whole Cam Moore, Jeffrey Simmons back and forth in those preseason practices was vital.
It was galvanizing.
It was great. But you look at it now and you think, has that really helped shape the rest of the team? To some, it reaches at them, but the others, it may not. And nonetheless, you don't have anybody on the roster anymore. But it's hard to really grasp all that from the beginning of the season, and then you have nobody really to bounce that off of anymore. You know?
I mean, look, like the losing is no good for no one,
right?
Or nothing. So that's really the bigger situation.
And Jeffrey Simmons currently with a hamstring injury. I kind of want to get into a little bit out on the other side of the break, if you're cool with it. Just what the future may hold for him, if it's trades, if it's somewhere on this roster, going forward with that. So we'll get into that on the other side of the break right here on Next Man Up. Nick Frazier, Tron Davenport, Parker Kelly, 102.5 The Game.
Like a cop car. Yeah, Parker.
Yes. Yes. Fist bump right there. That was
no
it.
Doubt. Look, that got me banging the mic and everything.
Yep, that was great.
That was a good one.
I was
Bobby
a little
Valentino.
Incredible.
Yeah, good selection. I saw my guy Brandon too over there, bobbing too. That's my
is that
guy,
man. Parker pick?
Shout out to Brandon for filling in on talking with TD yesterday too. When Chris Rim called, made it happen, put the music on. Yeah, good stuff, man. He came through in the clutch. That was my Edwin Diaz. I needed to close
the deal. Needed the closer.
He closed it for me.
Brands have been the man, man. Ever since he's been working here, he's been learning everything like a sponge. He's absorbing it all. I guess before the break, we were talking about Jeffrey Simmons and just what could the future hold for him with this team. Yeah. Obviously, he's been a threat this year when he's healthy. He's lost some weight. He's looking like old Jeffrey Simmons when he was in college in a roundabout way, in my opinion.
Disrupted.
Yeah, I'm a State fan. I think we're D-line U. Like,
remember he and Montez Sweat together?
Yes, absolutely. Hey, Montez Sweat is an edge rusher at Mississippi State, and then when he got drafted to Chicago, I was like, man, I really wish
– Oh, Washington.
Yeah, Washington.
And then traded to Chicago.
Yeah, thank you. I was like, man, I really wish Titans could have at least got Sweat or Simmons. This is before they drafted Simmons. And I was like – there we go. We got
that. Was my projection. I had projected them to get Sweat.
Yeah, because Titans at the time needed an edge rusher.
Needed an edge.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Mississippi
State,
they
made the right pick.
They did. Yeah, absolutely. So going forward with Jeffrey Simmons, where do you see him? Do you see him as a trade chip in a roundabout way? Like, to me, hearing the Titans say that he's not on the list of people to trade, would you call it somewhat front office malpractice?
No, not at all. It's funny that we're talking about this because I was just driving my daughter to school this morning, and I was helping her understand the power of being able to get up and walk away.
Right.
Right? That power is strong. So if you know that I want to get rid of Jeffrey Simmons, you're not going to come as correct as you would if I'm like, yo, he's off limits. Then you're going to be like, all right, you're the Bills with Ed Oliver down. You're like, man, I need that interior pass rush. They said that, you know what, let me go. Will y'all take two first? You know what I'm saying?
So
it's different. It's different. You know what I mean? So I don't think it's malpractice. I think it's good practice. I think it's doing the right thing. But then also, you got to look at it within the locker room. Look, like, we're going to call a spade a spade. Jeff is very aware of social media. He's very aware of the headlines. Mm-hmm. So if it comes out that, hey, the Titans are shopping Jeffrey Simmons, that's not a guy that you want upset.
No.
It doesn't gain you anything. So, yeah, you definitely make it known that he's not a guy that you're shopping. But in the meantime, the phone rings. As long as it's not Howie Roseman, you pick the phone up. You know, Howie, Howie going to fleece you. He's going to figure something out. So you don't pick up the phone. If it's a 215 or 267, you leave that alone. Yeah. You know what I mean? But anything else, you feel the cost.
So would you say in a roundabout way, obviously it's like a poker hand. You don't want to show your hand, you know, because then that just voids the whole purpose of it. But looking at Jeffrey Simmons as a trade option, I'd say maybe 4 or 5 days before the deadline, that's when you're going to start really hearing the phone ring.
Yeah, it's like as you get closer to it, you'll start hearing the phone ring. And it's all like a lot of like what Iran used to say, like, if I'm not being nosy, I'm not doing my job.
Right.
You know what I mean? So they're going to be GMs being nosy and calling. You know how the connections and stuff go. I'm sure Borgonzi is talking to somebody from Kansas City. You know what I mean? I'm sure there's guys from Green Bay called. You know what I mean? Wherever the you know, Ziegler has ties. You know, McKenzie has ties all across the league. So I'm sure that there's communication going. And it's just one of those things where I don't think you trade him, because to me, if you trade Jeffrey Simmons, the picks that you get, like, you're going to want one of those guys to be who?
A Jeffrey Simmons. Yeah.
You already got it. So why, like, the grass isn't always greener. And I understand trying to get younger and cheaper, but this is a guy that makes other players better. So you keep him.
Yeah, I get that. I'm trying to grasp and thinking, if you have a guy like T'Vondre Sweat who can plug the middle of the line for you, and yet he's probably not developing into the guy that you really want him to be yet, he's still a young puppy in this league. If he can develop into a guy, not exactly like Jeffrey Simmons, but can be a X factor on the defensive line, and say you do move off of Simmons, that'd probably be the best case scenario, right?
Guess who's going to get all the double teams that Jeffrey Simmons is getting now?
Sweat.
But you know what's different this year? Jeff is demolishing those double teams.
That's right.
You're not going to find – Denard Wilson said it right. You're not going to find a better three tech. Much, much, much respect to Chris Jones.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to find a better interior guy right now than Jeffrey Simmons. He's the best now, it's terrible that he's hurt.
Right.
But if you go back and you look at it, this dude was TFLs. You know what I mean? And if he's not getting the sack – deflecting the pass or making the throw rushed so Xavier Woods could dive and get the interception against the Broncos. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at the TFLs, you look at the pressure in the quarterback, you look at the sacking the quarterback. He's doing all that stuff. I don't think you trade that, because they're double teaming him. And as a matter of fact, when Sweat was ready to come back, that's one of the things that he was asked, you know, well, hey man, Jeffrey Simmons is playing good. What does that mean for me? More one-on-ones.
It's true. You're right. I mean, off of that, how would you say the future would look for Jeffrey Simmons if he does stay with the Titans? Like, how do you – obviously the money, yeah. Because obviously you get that because Aiden Hutchinson just got paid $180 million. Yeah.
Now, different – you know, he's an edge guy. There's a different
– but still, defensive line for sure. Yeah. I mean, just – that's that definitely resets the market a little bit.
Yeah, it does.
For a guy
it
like
does,
Jeffrey Simmons.
You know, for comparison's sake, it does. But I think, you know, the way that – it affects Jeffrey Simmons is he has to dig in and understand, like, this organization is going to revolve around me and the young fella, Cam. Mm-hmm. I got to invest and pour into him, and I got to continue to improve the way I've improved. You look at the offseason. I did a story on Jeff with the stuff. He and J.C. Latham, you know, their diet and stuff like that. This guy was extremely dedicated to his diet. You know, it was hard for him to cut out Doritos. It's been a 2-year process, but he's done with them. Like that kind of junk food.
Yeah.
And redoing his diet and then stripping his body down of the fat and then loading it back up with muscle. The guy gained 10 pounds of muscle from the end of mini camp to the beginning of training camp. How he did that, I want to know.
Strict
you know what
diet.
I mean? But he did it. You know what I mean? So that's the type of stuff that he has to continue to do, find ways to elevate. And it goes back to what we were saying about Cam Ward and the development. I think it was Trey, right? You never settle. You always look to improve, and that's what he's doing. He has to do it if he's going to be here.
It's that 1% better you were talking about earlier. Every day you get 1% better, you know? And don't get me wrong. I think Jeffrey Simmons is a generational talent when it comes to defensive interior players. It's just, again, you look at the roster construction of it all. That's one blue chip player that you can go grab. In my opinion, if you wait 3 days before the deadline, you're going to get that, as I like to call it, the pressure price of the trade deadline of a team that's a top contender for the Super Bowl. And it solely depends on the recruiting staff, or the scouting staff, I mean, that can really turn that into more blue chip players. So that's the double-edged sword. And I don't know. Again, I think he's a great player. I think he could still add a lot of value to this team. But when it comes to rebuilding this team right now, I think the best option would be to maybe move on. I don't know.
Yeah. It's tough, man.
And it hurts for me to say that because I'm a State fan. You know, like it really hurts.
I get it. And you're looking at it from the perspective of having more at-bats.
Right.
And I get that. But, you know, to me, all right, you're a Cardinals fan. Let's look it back in the day.
Oh, boy.
Would you rather have Tommy Herr get 10 at-bats? Or would you like Vince Coleman to get 3?
I mean,
you're going to get more production out of the 3 at-bats to Vince Coleman because you know he's going to bunt, get on base, steal second, steal third.
Exactly.
Willie McGee's going to hit a single and he's going to score. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So to me, like, I'd rather have, and I get having more, but if you have a proven commodity, you look at the roster, right?
That's right.
And you say, okay, who are the prime time players, the premier players on the roster? Jeffrey Simmons. You know, you could argue about Calvin Ridley. You could argue about Cam because he's the number one pick.
Right. Amani Hooker for sure.
Not yet. I think he's still like
on the fringe.
Hooker kind of regressed this year. Like,
yeah.
I'm just calling a spade a spade.
You don't think that's because of the play around him or no?
There are times where you got to make the test.
Yeah.
Poor angle on Jonathan Taylor's 80-yard run.
That's true.
Right? Yeah. And it ends up he looked like he's doing the breaststroke.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You can't have that happen. So, but the point is you have a proven commodity in Jeff. Don't move it. Don't move. Because what are you really – all right, if they're talking about 2 firsts and like some type of ransom, yeah, you probably should do it. But unless it's a move that you hang up the phone, before you hang up the phone, you're like, all right, hold on, let me think about it. You hang up the phone and you're like, yo – hey, Dave, you're not going to believe. You know what I mean? That's different. But
interesting.
Otherwise, I don't move off of Jeff.
Okay. Good to know. Well, we'll get into more. Sorry.
Joe Blocker on the chat.
Mm.
Excellent point. The Chiefs' defense is built around Chris Jones. Why can't we build around Jeff?
That's fair.
Joe Blocker on point with that one.
That's fair. All right. We'll get into more Titans talk here on the other side with Teron Davenport right here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game.